Whether it's her first Mother's Day or her 40th, she deserves more. Shop tons of stunning on-trend jewelry for every budget at Diamonds Direct. Diamond fashion jewelry, beautiful birthstones, everyday pearls, starting at just $200. Commemorate the real loves of her life with a gorgeous pendant featuring the birthstone of the one who made her mom. This Mother's Day, Diamonds Direct has everything you need to say thank you. Diamonds Direct, your love, our passion. Online at DiamondsDirect.com.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 156, episode 2 of JJ Lee Zeitgeist, a production of iHeartRadio. Whoa, I'm peaking.
Uh-oh.
This is a podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness and say officially off the top, fuck the Koch brothers,
fuck
Fox News, fuck Rush Limbaugh, fuck Ben Shapiro, fuck Tucker Carlson, fuck J.K. Rowling, and fuck Fondage. It's Tuesday, October 20th, 2020. My name is Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. Don't know much about Benghazi. Don't know much virology. Don't know much about alt-right crooks. Don't know much about the French I took. But I do know that I love the Dew. And I know that if you love Dew too, what a wonderful world it could be. Ah, that is courtesy of Lex Loogie, and I'm thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray!
The Daily Zeitgeist, with your host, Miles of Gray. More often than not, he's high on the pot in a wonderful way. Thank you so much. Panoramic view. I know that's Hannah Soltis on the Discord channel for my great AKAs. Thank you for that contribution, Hannah. Good to see you. Bless the entire Discord crew.
Yeah. Well, we are thrilled to be joined in our third seat by the hilarious, the talented Kyle Ayers.
Oh, it's good to be here and watch that not rhyme.
Yeah.
I think it was more like Ayers.
It's a lot like that the song that Throw Your Hands in the Air. That's what we're looking for. That came out when I was in college, and boy, did it get yelled at me.
Okay. Yeah.
Wait, ATLians came out when you were in hands college? In
no, it was like the popular remix sort of like thing. Like a Girl Talk remix or something like that.
Remember? Sure, yeah.
There was a point in my life I thought Girl Talk was the only good musician.
That's right.
That was true. That was like, I remember you would pull up to a party and be like, yo, have you fucking heard this girl talk shit? What?
Yeah.
Dude, I'm going to play it. It's called Night Ripper.
He made art.
I burned this CD.
Out of art.
Wait,
but everything had GarageBand before I did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then he kind of went away.
Well, he has like a couple remixes here and there. I see him pop up, but whenever you'd see him live, he'd always use this like janky ass, like IBM ThinkBook or whatever. And he would just saran wrap it because there's so much sweat and beer and shit flying. Those live shows though,
they're very fun.
Entire vibe.
He really embraced just hitting play and having a party. Do you know what I mean? Where it seems like some people who sort of do the DJ thing try and... It's like, I know you're not doing anything up there right now. I don't need you to look busy. Just shoot confetti at me.
Yeah,
exactly. And invite everybody on stage.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
We but do need a confetti bazooka for our next live show experience. Month.
I have a digital one if you want. A green screened confetti bazooka you could use in Zoom. Yeah.
Hell yeah. That sounds great just for like boring meetings, especially.
Mm-hmm. And it goes, yay!
Especially when like, you're like a dry corporate calling, like, guys, we got some great news. So 2-3, blah, blah, blah.
Yay!
Pop, pop.
Yay! All right, Kyle, we're going to get to know you a little bit better in a moment. First, we're going to tell our listeners what we're talking about today. You know, we're in the home stretch, so we're going to talk about where the Trump campaign's head is at. We are going to talk about where the rest of the Republican Party's head is at. We're going to take some advice from Nate Silver. He's trying to keep us sane in this stretch run. We're going to look at a new report coming out that says Facebook specifically altered their algorithm in 2017. To throttle traffic to what they refer to as left-leaning sites. We are going to check in with Chris Pratt's closet Trump support. We're going to look into what the 50 scientifically scariest movies of all time are, according to some half-assed science project that somebody just did. And if we have time, we might get to the plot for Space Jam 2. All of that. Plenty more, but first, Kyle, throw your hands in the airs. What is something from your search history that is revealing about who you are?
Oh, well, I can't believe you teased him with, and if there's time, we'll get to the thing everyone cares about most.
that's how we keep them going, and then we just push it off until
after the
election.
And if there's time,
we'll
do the sack of money giveaway at the end. if there's time. They have dollar signs on it. So the last thing I Google searched is The Office Season 2 Torrent.
Okay.
I wanted to make a funny video, and it is so hard to just find a clip. I mean, I know. I'm admitting to theft now that I hear it out loud. but I just wanted one little clip of a thing. Why can't I use a little clip of a thing? Just give me
which clip you're looking for.
I wanted to promote my album by pretending Jim and Pam were listening to it on that iPod scene of that episode.
Oh, it's like what you listen to. Like, want to share an AirPod?
Yeah, AirPod? And have them put the AirPod in, and it's me screaming. And so I went to go find the clip, and you can't because it's all in like 1p online, like the standardest definition possible, because it's been like downgraded. And so I went and I, you know what? For the purpose of this, I bought it and I own the rights to it. I own the copyright.
That's right.
I bought NBC. I'm bringing CISO back.
That's smart of them to just.
Who says CISO?
That's smart of them to just sell off chunks of the show to individual people just one at a time.
That seems like part of a dystopian nightmare where you're like, oh, actually, my neighbor owns every Dwight quote.
Yeah.
like, how? you remember when they started gutting that thing?
I don't own Acme, but I own Acme products from Looney Tunes episodes. So you're not allowed to. You can watch it almost land on Wile E. Coyote, but if you're going to actually watch it hit him, you have to hit me up.
Yeah. Then you have to pay me,
I'm a Michael Scott baron. I own all the Michael Scott quotes.
I mean, Jack, it was a risk. A lot of people were like, that character might not resonate. And in fact, it might become so dated, might become toxic. You bet big and look at
I
you
bought
now,
the rights during season drum. One when everyone was like, this guy, this isn't going to work.
Well, the problem
this guy
is
sums
I
up with his hairline.
Michael Scorn quotes and prison Mike quotes. And so there's a lot of weird court cases we have to get into when it comes to that.
Yeah.
And it's I believe it's Michael Scarn.
Scarn. Yeah. That was, that was my typo was costing me.
It's funny. I almost
my
bought these.
Are going to be all over that.
They're these Nike hiking shoes called the Air Scarn.
Oh, yeah.
And I nearly, I just almost bought them because of the Michael Scarn parallel. And I'm like, man, what the fuck
is this? This is only going to resonate to
me. And it's only for me. I'm like, yo, what's up, man? What up, serious hiker? These are Air Scarns. They're like, my leg is broken and I need a medevac. And I'm like,
I'm cutting my arm off right now to get out of this rock. If you could let me go. You're just yelling. You're like, check out my specific shoes. And they're like, can you pull your mask up?
Sorry.
I just had to let you know about these.
The Scarns.
I didn't need to see your mouth to describe that you were wearing Air Scarns.
Just thought you might not have heard me when I said
it. I didn't want you to get into the scorn situation.
Into laughter. Kyle, what is something you think is underrated?
Underrated. I always struggle with this because I wrote down two things for both of them. I'm sorry.
Hey,
yeah,
I think electric toothbrushes, underrated.
Mm-hmm.
I used my electric toothbrush for a while, and then it wasn't working, and I went back to a normie. And then the first time I used an electric toothbrush again, it felt like I'd gone to the dentist for a cleaning.
Yeah, yeah.
right.
As opposed to just pushing that broom around.
Maybe I just don't know what I'm doing, but...
Our listeners know. I mean, with the new Quip smart head, I mean, you can gamify.
I didn't mean to ease you into an ad.
I mean, for real, it gives you tips on that stroke. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I wasn't trying to ease you into an ad. But the other thing I think is underrated is Squarespace. No. just me and my undies. The other thing I put for underrated is just kind of watching the first thing you think you want to watch when you're looking for something to watch.
Yeah. Just go with
just
it.
Watch
despite your
you don't have to scroll down. You don't have to scroll over. You want to watch The Firm? That's fine. You'll be happy when you're 12 minutes in and you're committed to something. Just kind of watch the thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. I do. I have the worst content commitment phobia. Like when it comes, like when I'm about to eat and you're trying to put the perfect thing on, and I'll literally, my food will just disintegrate and rot by the time I've decided like what I could even watch.
Right, you're eating spam, which is crazy. That
yeah, exactly. Bad. And Twinkies, and they're just completely gone off by the time I get to them. But yeah, I have tried to be like, I'll trust the algorithm. And then sometimes I'm like, this is so bad. And then I just eat quicker and I'm done and I'm off to do something more productive. So in a way, you know.
Yeah.
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 So just kind of watch the thing, you know, you'll be all right. Just kind of put
it on. What did you watch recently?
I started watching The Boys on Amazon Prime. I gave in to overwhelming promoted tweets and also finally linked Amazon Prime to my TV, and I wanted to reward myself for doing that. And I watched one episode of it. It's good, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'll stick with it. And then I, what other thing I watched is in my overrated, so.
Okay. Let's do it. What is your overrated?
All right. My overrated, first thing, LaCroix. Not what I watched, but all the others. I like all. Give me a seltzer from a brand that seems like it was invented by one guy in a bodega. I don't need. I think that they're too. They're not better than other seltzers.
Yeah. No, they're not.
Yeah. I mean,
and you feel like they're too corporate. They're too.
It's not. I just am
focus
like,
grouped.
They're just like. What do we? They're all. Give me. They don't have a cherry flavor.
That is true.
I've got to get Waterloo. Waterloo's black cherry. I love Waterloo.
I know. Black cherry is the best seltzer flavor, and they don't even wade into those waters. And instead, they're out here. And I guess I'm not. You got to just take the word essence off the box.
Yeah.
And then the other thing I thought was overrated was the trial of the Chicago 7.
Ooh, okay. I'm hearing different takes from different sides on this. What are your thoughts?
I don't want to make it into a big movie rant sort of situation. And aside from the viral tweet where you find out that he reused 40 lines from his previous works in this movie, Aaron Sorkin, which is incredible to watch, and I'm not joking.
Yeah, he loves to plagiarize himself.
Sorkinisms.
I've never seen something be less than the sum of its parts in such a spectacular manner. Do you know what I mean? It's like when a sports team, like the Philadelphia Eagles that one year, signed like the 10 best free agents in the league and then went 8-8. That's what this felt like happened.
Right.
It was like you put all the acting is good. If you ask me what's good about it, I would list all of the parts of making a movie.
Right.
I'm like, the acting's good. But then I felt like I was watching the first the debut night of a high school play the entire time, or like what like if this is like a black box theater one man show draw like when they sort of, in Barry, that show Barry, they made fun of acting in a way where they all put on this performance as like a ensemble. That's what this felt like. Everything was so dramatic.
Like everyone very showy performances?
Everyone interrupts each other with the most witty thing possible. And I'm like, no one's like this. Right. I hang out with all comedians and it's mostly duds. There's no way that everyone's behaving like this. And also, it was just felt like all of my Midwestern, my parents would love this movie so much.
Right.
Because it makes you feel good. For, you're like, well, they're like, there's a right way for progress is basically what it says. Where you can't go too far this way. You got to go down the middle. You got to feel, and it's like that, but that isn't what it is.
Right.
And
right.
it felt like I was being talked down to the entire time. It felt like, I don't know, like a Disney movie. Like, I think Miracle had like more social depth than this did or something, but
despite it being so significant.
The first 30 minutes of the movie, I felt insane because it's cut together like someone's making, like SNL's making fun of Aaron Sorkin, where everything is, everyone, it's a walk and talk. There's a walk and talk through a Black Panther's like apartment. And you're just like, this is a one bedroom in Philly. Where's he walking? It's so small. And you just, you felt like it was satire. And then it sort of settles in. And then you just are like, and then I looked, I'm like, everyone has to hate this, right? Because Sorkin feels like he's making fun of himself. And I'm like, it's a 95% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Right.
Mm.
And I'm just, how is this? It has all the stuff that I dislike about stuff that's exclusively Netflix, which means it feels like it was half the budget of anything else, and it feels rushed. And then it had all the stuff I dislike about Sorkin, which is it loved itself and thought it was smarter than anything anyone else has ever made.
Yeah,
and that it was more significant than anything that exists.
I have a pitch for Aaron Sorkin to just do a series version of The Social Network 2. I don't think he's great at writing characters he admires, because I think then the characters become too, or like if they're saying the thing that he thinks is right, it gets like too, he gets too up his own ass. But like, I thought The Social Network was his best work.
I think The Social Network might be the most important movie of a decade. That's like how back and forth I am with this guy. A Few Good Men is a perfect movie.
Yeah.
The West Wing is the best political, like, pop culture thing that has ever, well, Veep is, but The West Wing is great. And and then here we are with this, and I'm just like, what is happening?
But I think
it's exactly what you're saying.
When he rewrites history to be in line with sort of his neoliberal sort of beliefs, and he's so confident in his worldview that he just, and he's good at like putting it into words, but it becomes like too pat and it doesn't really cohere to history. Whereas I want him and Fincher to, like, that was a great supervillain origin story, but holy shit, when you look at like what Facebook has done since being founded and reaching a billion users, it's nightmarish, and also just like interacts with history in all sorts of horrifying ways. And I would love to see that.
I think it's almost a responsibility that they have. I don't know, because it's like it, but you know, like Facebook, they will skirt any responsibility for anything they've ever made has an impact society. I love The Social Network and think it's just so important and so good. And a lot of it's really great because Sorkin didn't have to write anything. It was all written down. And by the people in the movie are the 20 people who talk like Sorkin thinks everyone talks. It's all lawyers and people who are smarter than lawyers.
Right.
And it's great. I didn't love the Trial of Chicago 7. I don't, anyone who isn't a neoliberal, anyone who isn't my parents,
right?
He kind of, they all talk with like a condescending fatal flaw within, they have some sort of like kindness or something like personable about them at the end, I suppose.
Yeah. The other show that your response reminds me of is The Newsroom, where it's like, what if?
I don't want to derail the whole podcast and you get me started talking about The Newsroom. it's, oh my God. But people were touting the pilot speech that he gives. Like, Aaron Sorkin was the only one who knew that America might not be the greatest country in the history of the world.
Right.
And people were like, oh, you really got to watch. Wasn't there like a wildly popular Twitter account that was a fake version of the fake guy from the show?
Right. Yeah, I think so.
That makes too much sense. Kyle, though, I just, while you're here, since you're a Chiefs fan, underrated, Marvin Snoop Minnis.
Properly rated.
Underrated or overrated?
Properly rated.
Miles,
by the fact that 2 out of 14 people remember who he is, but he had a nice impact on those two. So I'll say every Chiefs player post Derek Thomas, pre Patrick Mahomes is properly rated.
There you go.
Right. But Dante Hall?
Underrated. you immediately named the one. A little overshadowed by Devin Hester. He might be the second best returner of all time, but when you exist at the exact same time as the best one.
Yeah.
Right.
It's hard.
Yeah, yeah.
A lot of guys we don't talk about because of Jordan.
Yeah.
Dante Hall got me betting on football, basically. I won a bet. Like, I think it was one, like, I think it was the beginning of the season or something. And I had a bet going like on the Chiefs. And he delivered, and I was like, this guy is great. And that season, I probably lost the most money on football.
So. Well, that's
he personally got you, like, he was like, I think we're going to hit
his returns.
I think we're going to get under. We're going to hit the under.
He texted you.
And lose this game. And
I'm like, what are you thinking, man? You guys going to cover or what?
He had a good streak of a few games in a row. Running back a punt is so exciting. Yeah. It's
oh,
so
man.
And now I watch it like a horrified parent where I'm just like, get out of bounds, please.
Go, 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 go.
Don't hurt yourself. Yeah.
Finally, what is a myth? What's something people think is true to be
false? Well, this is crazy because I wrote this down before I knew what we were going to talk about today. I have two again, but one of them I couldn't debunk, and that is that I think my nails are growing faster now.
Wait, why? What's going on?
I don't know. I don't remember having to trim them this often. But maybe it's because I used to be able to go outside.
Do you think it's a time marker?
I think they're growing. I'm like having to trim them, I feel like, multiple times a week.
That's too many, yeah.
But so I don't know. And I tried to look it up, and there's mixed results, so I couldn't debunk it.
Like Meg and Family Guy, when that was her power, or just her legs got, or her nails just got super long for a second?
It's just every time. Because I play guitar, and you notice quick when that, and even because we all type so much, you notice on your keyboard when they're longer. Because you're like, am I worse at typing all of a sudden?
Right.
Getting a lot of weird fret buzz here.
Yeah, so I don't know. That was the first. So I couldn't debunk that. Maybe if there, I know that there's definitely people smarter than me that listen to this, because that's everyone. And so let me know if your nails grow faster as you get older. The internet has mixed results.
I have a feeling I had a similar thought. I'm like, damn, my nails got fucking long all of a sudden.
Yeah.
I think it's because. It's like one of the few things is keep helping me keep track of time is my fingernail length. Like, I've lost every other marker. Like, you know, pumpkin spice latte season happened 5 days early.
Sure.
The NBA finals just ended. You know, I don't know
what's
going on. The
Chiefs play at 2 p.m. on a Monday for their Thursday night game.
Yeah. It's like, I don't know. So I've, like, those normal things, like, that and my allergies are the only thing that have been consistent. And I think because I've lost those other things, I forget like how much linear time has passed. I'm like, you know, I feel like Uma Thurman in Kill Bill when she come out the coma and she's like looking at her hands. And she's like, 4 years or whatever that line is. But
yeah, that's interesting. Cause like I just remember when I used to park in the same parking lot every day, like at a certain point, it just, they all started blending together because like, I just couldn't distinguish that morning from every other morning that looked and felt exactly the same. And I just wonder if like a similar thing where we're just like kind of you know, our brain is actually far more nerves going from our brain to our eyes than vice versa. Like our brain fills in a lot of the stuff that it already knows is there, and your eyes are only taking in a very small portion of it. And I think that's just generally true with our world. Like whenever there's something that our brain is like, okay, this is going to be the same every time, it just like starts filling that in and memory holing it. So
it's like cookies on the internet.
Yeah, exactly. Your brain is cookieing the world around you because we're in a very routine.
It is like that when you see those paragraphs where every word is misspelled, except but the first and last, and then but you can read them properly.
Right.
Your brain is doing all the fill-in work for you, where you just understand how everything's supposed to be.
Exactly.
Come on, brain. You got to get better and work harder. if there's one thing to tell my brain. The other thing I wrote down to debunk is I didn't know we were going to talk about today. You'll be okay if you delete Facebook. You're not going to lose connections with your friends. You're not going to miss. It's okay. You can keep in touch with people without it now. I know that a lot of people hang on because they're like, this is how I keep in touch with what my like cousins or I deleted it. I've been forced. I just text people sometimes and say, what's up? Hope all is well. Like that's like old high school friends or things like that. You can kind of just put in a little bit different work. And it's not like replacing, hey, we're all having a dialogue about a funny photo or something, but
yeah,
it's okay.
Or it's always like, oh shit, the star quarterback of my high school is like just a racist troll now. Uh-oh.
I do think like, people hang debates. On to it's it like, just
I
for like
I think it's the
things.
Concussions. Because you know, you remember back then, like there were no protocols. And I remember his helmet was a lot lighter than everyone else because he was more of a, you know, it's kind of scrambling quarterback. And he took, I remember that one game against Bishop Amat. It was pretty fucked up. And then he still got back in. I don't know. Maybe that's what it is. I'm like, maybe he's just racist. I don't know.
Maybe he's just been racist the whole time. Maybe right. That's just maybe he said he wanted a lighter helmet because white people's brains were bigger and you need to look it up. Like, maybe that was the sign he was racist and not the getting hit by the football. I just think I have lost nothing. I have missed out on nothing,
yeah.
Because I have deleted it. I don't know. I have a Facebook fan page that I don't know how to maintain without having Facebook. but I don't really know what to do. I know that some people hang on because they're like, well, yeah, because it is a really at its inception, it was a really good way to rate women on their hotness. And then the second thing it was good at was you could keep in it. Kind of, you don't need a high school reunion anymore,
right? Right.
And it's like, well, I don't think we're meant to be this in touch with this many people and have no intimate relationships with any friends anymore. Like, I'm not supposed to have a 1% tab with 1,000 people.
To have the most annoying thing that those 1,000 people do every day just bubble up to the top of your consciousness to make
you
angry.
So if you're thinking about it, here's what I can say if you're listening and you're like, well, I don't like what it's doing. Log out and delete the apps for a little bit and see how often you just open a browser and type FAB or it's really it makes you feel crazy. When I logged out and deleted the thing, I would just open Chrome and type FAC. And then I'm like, oh no, like my muscle. And then you'll slowly stop doing that and you'll slowly get better. It feels like I'm like getting rid of like a sugar addiction or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think your point though, by texting somebody, I mean, like just being on Facebook, I think people massively like overrate or underrate how passive it actually is. Like you may think, well, how do I keep up? It's like, but are you interacting? You might just be scrolling, but oh, that's what they're doing. Oh, that's what they're doing. But it's not, you're not connecting. And I think even to your point, by even texting someone like, hey, what's up? You good? That's where
it
you're going
to
get
feel
that
like a
actual
zoo after
connection.
A little bit. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
where it's like
mess.
A one-way a connection mess. We all have with each other.
Yeah.
But, and then I hated who I was going in and being like my muscle memory is to go to these things.
Right.
And I'm like, this is where did I get to where this is a thing I check off 100 times a day?
It's because of Zuckerberg, bro.
Yeah.
They had it all so planned out.
You can do without it. I know people who say, and I need it for this. I need it for this. I use it for this. You don't. You can figure it out.
I'm now Zoom bombing for my personal interaction on a daily basis. Just going into
random
like random. Random login numbers, family reunions, you know, corporate meetings, AA meetings, just coming in being like, sup.
What you do is you just crawl, you just look on Google and you just search for people who are publicly posting Zoom meeting IDs. And I just go in, video off, and I just like to be a fly on the wall.
Oh, I had a Zoom stand-up show get bombed by, and this is what I miss live stand-up so much because at least hecklers had to have gumption when it was face-to-face. Now they bomb a Zoom meeting, and these kids are so not good at being racist. They're so, they bombed the meeting, they stole the screen share, and they went to the KKK's Wikipedia page. And I'm like, what are you doing? Why are you The page says they're bad. Like, I don't know what you're trying to get across.
That'll
like,
show
what,
them.
What a lazy racist. At least if you were heckling me in person, you had to call me a slur while I looked at you. Do you know what I mean?
Right. There's a little more. Yeah, there's risk involved.
Come on. Back in my day.
Come on, 12-year-olds.
Yeah, they just all Zoom bombed it, and they like Googled penis. Do you know what I mean? And they threw the picture up there, and you're like, buddy, I got one. Like, I don't know.
These are medical diagrams.
You're so bad.
This actually sounds like you were Zoom bombed by like a 55-year-old dad or mom or something.
I don't know how to internet.
All right, guys, let's take a quick break, and we'll come back and check in on the presidential election.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Hey, here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Visible is the wireless company that makes wireless visible. No hidden fees, no really. Save on wireless with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. You don't need more than one line of wireless to save. Just switch to Visible at Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
And we're back. So Trump has tried to keep spirits up, you know, the polls looking bleak, as we talked about on yesterday's episode. But he, you know, in other news that they're spinning out to the media as much as possible, he thinks they had their best day that any presidential election has had so far this election. Just, you know, crushing
it. That seems rooted in facts.
Yeah. I think it was like rooted in the dance moves, where his feet are rooted to the stage.
I mean, the things, the part of this article, he says, he's telling his staffers, because right now, a lot of his staffers are not feeling it. They're like, dude, especially the people who have been working on other like legit campaigns where, you know, the candidate like does things like has a message and stays on it and isn't just like screaming wild racist shit out loud. You know, the morale is super fucking low and all of them are looking at it like, dude, we're so up against it. He's not doing anything to change the number. So this led him to be like saying, we're going to win. I wouldn't have told you that maybe 2 or 3 weeks ago. If we had the election today, I think we'd win. Today's the best single day that I felt on either campaign. I don't know what that even means. Is that because your meds are hitting right? Or like, what day after I got steroids
from doctors is one of the best days I've ever felt on either campaign.
Or to my life in general. And then he's sort of gone on to, you know, when people are raising issues about like, you know, just getting killed in the messaging and stuff, he's say blaming the press for reporting stories about him, which are objectively negative because he's a racist piece of shit that can't stay on message. So yeah, the stories are going to be about how what his racism is or being anti-science. I think most recently he was warning people that at this rally in, what is it, Carson County, I want to say, in Nevada, in Carson County, Nevada, he was telling people, he's like, look, if Joe Biden's elected, he'll listen to the scientists. That's his warning to people, is he'll listen to accepted science now. So his words
did
to
he
the public,
say that specifically, like those were the
yes,
words
he in the thing he goes the way that he's like, you know, you don't know how the future of this virus is looking, he's gonna want to lock down. He's talking about Joe Biden, then he says he'll listen to the scientists, and then he said if I listen totally to the scientists, we would right now have a country that would be in a massive depression. Instead we're like a rocket ship. Take a look at the numbers.
The numbers are
actually... He didn't specify which rocket ship. I think there's a school teacher on board it.
Oh, God. Yeah. Jesus Christ.
So, yeah, take
we
off.
We had a challenge and we faced it. We're like a challenger taking...
This has always blown me away that that's a Dodge car. Come on. Okay.
Yeah.
the actual numbers show that we're economically, you know, in a recession bordering on depression. And China, because they actually listened to their scientists and, you know, locked down and did all the things.
Well, and also like the authoritarian, you know, you can lock shit down a little bit
right
easier.
Okay, so New Zealand,
yeah, when you
and
control
China,
all the locks,
right? Yeah, that does help. But they had
but
a big
any country,
economic recovery already. Like the countries that listened to
right. New Zealand is holding rugby matches with 85,000 right. people sitting next to each other.
I know. Yeah. That's like the new drug is just going to be to put an Oculus headset on and pretend you're in New Zealand at a rugby game.
Yeah. Oh man, I saw the clips and I'm like, I don't know how I got mad at everyone at the same time.
Yeah,
every single person in the world, I was upset at them.
Just everything, like their
charming accents.
Jacinda is like on her way to just a smash in the election. And I was reading another thing about how their parliament is like the most diverse, especially from an LGBTQIA like standpoint, like of any other country in the world. And you look at this like, wow, diversity of opinions, thoughts, all of this.
It's crazy how when a government is representative of the people who live under that government,
oh my God, stop,
the people
stop.
Are safer. Oh, I'm not. Look, I'm not a scientist. You don't have to listen to me unless Biden wins.
Right.
The other thing I was gonna say is like the messaging thing is even starting to get to like the Fox and Friends set. Steve right. Ducey, he had to literally, because he knows the president is watching. He had to stop short of telling the president, "Yo, shut the fuck up about Hunter Biden," to just essentially set it up very softly.
So you got to figure the president's going to try to bring up Hunter Biden in some way.
Has to.
And the base loves to hear that stuff. But what the consultants are telling the president is in the race to the final 15 days, do as much about the economy as you possibly can. And essentially the best message is President Trump built a great economy. Then COVID screwed things up and President Trump is better at rebuilding than Joe Biden. That's the message they would like to see.
Got it.
So, like I said, we just talked about how this man is at a rally in Nevada as we speak, saying Joe Biden will listen to the scientists. That's uh-huh. not the message. The people who you paid millions of fucking dollars to test all this messaging, they're telling you the narrative you need to sell is the one Steve Ducey even knows. And stop basically he's saying Hunter Biden is the fetch of 2020. Stop trying to make it happen because it ain't happening.
Do we think that they have, like, that Republican strategists sit down with Steve Ducey and are like, look, this is the only way that we can get this message through to him? Do you think, like, it's that concerted? Do you think Fox News just knows that they are, like, the only people that the president listens to?
It must be shorthand at this point. Right. Once you got a year into this thing and there are all these reports about how he's just fucking has his eyes glued to Fox, that you're like, yeah, this is how you talk to him. And I'd imagine just like us who are watching this constantly, just if we were in the similar position as problem solvers, we'd be like, okay, man, I guess we need somebody to go on Fox News and scream it at the president through the fucking show that he watches because he's not listening to us. Yeah. Whatever. Who gives
it's
a
like
shit
you hear those stories about how Marlon Brando quit memorizing scripts and they would have to leave lines tucked around the set that he would just read as they go. That's what this feels like is happening, where he's like in the middle. They've said action and he's in the middle. Like, you just please just put one on there to say stop making fun of the most sympathetic person involved in either campaign. Like, please put something in there that says bring up anything I've done. I mean, the sigh that Ducey had before he got into that, like, 20 or 25 second talk where he feels like he's exhausted at his job. I have no sympathy for him, but he feels like he is like, well, here I go again doing the thing. Do you know what I mean? And I imagine they get in a meeting. Yeah. And they all, I could see them have their size, their Bitmojis are having in this Republican think tank, Fox News group chat are fast.
Speaking of no sympathy for him, I just want to talk about the continuing Eurostep away from the president by
Eurostepping,
a number of senators and GOP politicians who are trying to win
elections.
If
Biden wins, every step is going to be a Eurostep. We're going to be stepping just like Euros.
You don't want that.
John Cornyn, the Texas senator who finds himself all of the sudden in a shockingly close race, is distancing himself and saying things that are like pretty sober for a Republican, like pretty circumspect and
but with enough misogyny that it still sounds like something a Republican would say.
Yes, of course, of course. Make no mistake, there is a problematic toxic masculinity at the core of all of this. He said maybe he described his relationship with Trump as maybe like a lot of women who get married and think they're going to change their spouse, and that doesn't usually work out very well. I think what we found is that we're not going to change President Trump. He is who he is. You either love him or hate him, and there's not much in between. What I tried to do is not get into public confrontations and fights with him because, as I've observed, those usually don't go too well. But when I've had a difference of opinion, I'd bring it up privately. So basically, like, I knew he was wrong. I just, like, didn't say it because he gets mad and is mean, which is... the surest sign that your candidate is winning the election is when people are being like, I knew he was an asshole, you guys.
I was just doing that to fuck with y'all. Oh, you thought I was serious? Nah, I knew he was trash the whole time.
You know,
see,
what's
that's
wild
where y'all are
is,
stupid.
I believe him when he says, when I do it privately, it's more effective, because Trump is such a lying, gaslighting, moment-to-moment people-pleaser. Every time he meets with someone one-on-one, he gives them everything they want. Every time he meets with someone one-on-one, they come out like, he meets with Kanye. He comes out and he's like, we did everything. He meets with Kim Kardashian. He's like, I released everyone she said to. He does the immediacy of what he needs to feel love. That's why he does these rallies, is because it's the only thing where he gets this immediacy.
Right.
If you get him one-on-one and you're like, make Texas into 9 states, he probably would go do it. Like, he's so, he doesn't know anything,
right?
And so he just is so reactive. Every he does whatever anyone at that moment is. That's why he listens to Fox News and does that immediately.
I mean, that's ultimately why he's bad at being president, right? Is because
it's the worst thing
in addition to the racism and all of you know, the horrifying rightward movement of the ideology of the GOP, he's also like, just, you know, for a national catastrophe like COVID-19, the thing that they said, like, at the outset is like, you need somebody who is steady, who is always like, this is what we're doing. This is what we're doing. This is the game plan. these are the realities we're dealing with. This is what we're doing. And he is the opposite of that.
Yeah, kind of like so what you're saying about how he likes to please everyone. He's like Mora in Pen 15 season 2.
Oh,
who's just
God.
Like, what y'all want? Y'all want to come over? I'll give you everything. My mom's a cunt. Fuck you, mom. I will always also lie about every single thing so you like me. It's like, oh,
I don't think
he's thought
two things ahead. I think every time we thought he was, or I just think everything is moment to moment. What is best for me in this exact moment, this exact second? Sometimes the best thing for him in that moment is to put a rallying cry out to a hate group. Sometimes the best thing for him in that moment is to release someone from jail because it'll look good on Twitter. Everything to him is like this second to this. I think he has no foresight. I think he's easily manipulated. It's like anytime anyone attributes any intelligence to anything he's doing, I think it's someone around him, and I give him no credit.
Yeah, I think it's pure instincts and just people trying to engineer those instincts.
Yeah.
It's just that shit where like some of his ideas are so bad when they worked out, people just mistook that for him being very complex.
Like,
and you're like, no, that's just the probabilities are just in his favor.
You can wing it as you go and get by on confidence for I would say it looks like 3.85 years.
Yeah.
But the one thing
or in
that
an improv group.
Yeah.
Right.
Not
one
as
thing
president.
I hadn't fully heard a Republican say before, and maybe they've been saying this and I just haven't been paying attention, but he said in this call with supporters, I applaud him for standing up to China, but frankly, this idea that China is paying the price and we're not paying the price here at home is just not true. So that's I've heard that be cited as like a real strength of his on like centrists and right wing people. And so it's good to.
Well, I think all it was is that like, oh, he was willing to fuck up the economy to start this trade war. And that's definitely a flex. But cut to so many people, especially in the manufacturing sector, who were promised the revival of manufacturing jobs in the 2016 election, are always like, what the fuck is this? Like, this guy asshole really just lied to us. All of this to say is all these people, including Ben Sasse, who I know you spoke about earlier, just trying to act like he fucking knew. And he's like, this guy's he flirts with white supremacy. Look, all you Republicans, nice fucking try. We caught all y'all on camera throating the fucking boot. So it's the time will come for most of you to be thrown out or voted out. I mean, depending on, you know, what district you're in, you may be in, you know, a district so red it will make the devil jealous. But this, for everybody else, you'd hope that these things are just going to be like, just, you know, hang over them this entire time. Because you know they know that they're like, I don't know, that was kind of a bad look for me.
That was a new level of folksiness, by the way, from you, Miles. So red that I'll make the devil jealous.
That's because he's talking about a guy from Nebraska.
So he just immediately went full Nebraska.
I hear
mode.
Everything that you're saying and so desperately hope it's true and so desperately hope that everyone is not just so racist that they don't care. I hope that every farmer isn't just so hateful that they actually realize this guy doesn't care about you. But I still am worried it won't. I am just worried that someone will lose the popular vote by 7.5 million votes and win an election, because every district is going to be so red the devil is jealous when they're all drawn in crazy, bizarre swirl shapes throughout every single state.
Yeah. So crazy and swirly, it makes LSD jealous. Is that?
There you go.
Right?
I like that.
I guess farmers don't really reference LSD that much.
They love it.
Not these days. You hate to see it.
Nate Silver did a thing. I'm going to go ahead and out myself as Nate Silver boy, but I don't know.
Silver boy.
Soon it will be election day in the city. All right. I could have gone without taking it all the way, but,
had to indulge a bit.
I just think he has a better handle on the race. If we are going to look at polls, like, he recognizes the limitations of polls, talks about the limitations of polls all the time. The thing he's saying is that Trump still has a chance. If what happened, what Trump was suggesting happened and the election was held today, he would have a 1 in 20 shot of winning based on existing polls, because he's behind by so much. Silver thinks that things are going to tighten, but 1 in 20 is still a high chance it, when you're talking in terms of like an asteroid hitting our country, which I think is what we would be dealing with.
Like, I wish we would treat it like, what if COVID's death rate was 1 in 20?
Right.
Because it's, what, it's 1 in 200, and it is still so it is the most serious thing that has happened to the world in a while. And this is, I hope Nate Silver's right that it's only one, but it's 1 in 20 scary.
Yeah, and then, I mean, based on like what has happened in past elections, he thinks it's going to tighten to 1 in 10, which is what they have it at right now, which, you know, that's incredibly scary. But the points that he was making that are like good to just keep in mind as we're all like hyperventilating over the last 2 weeks, people overestimate the October surprise importance and underestimate like how consistent people are in their values. Like, COVID is what has mattered to voters and continues to matter them. Polls have been showing that all year. And the October surprise with Comey mattered, with Comey like talking about reopening the investigation into Clinton, mattered in 2016 because Clinton was uniquely unpopular. There was a large portion of undecided voters when that happened. And so it just swung a bunch of them from Clinton to Trump. There aren't a large portion of undecided voters.
Imagine right now, and you're like, I don't know. How? Who are you? Who is the person who, I don't mean to begin, who's the person who's at home like, I gotta hear a little more from both of these guys.
See how this last debate goes.
I'm loving Joe Jorgensen, and so if either of these other guys can have a good Zoom debate, maybe I'll swing.
Polls generally don't change that much in the last 2 weeks, on average, like 1 to 2 percentage points. That would keep things at around 1 in 10 if they move in Trump's direction, or like 1 in 20 if they move in Biden's direction. The one thing I think he's leaving out is just that we have a debate that is only 12 days before the election, which is unprecedentedly close.
Yeah. They're already bashing the, you know, I think it's Kristen Welker, who's moderating, and like the topics came out and they're like, what's he going to do? Like, this is just, he's getting killed out here. Like, it's just going to be a hit job.
I've always been, because
he's
got to
talk
when,
about racial issues. Oh.
When they're like, when the Trump campaign is like, oh, Biden knew what they were going to talk about. Dog, we all knew what they were going to talk about. It's the shit that they're talking about every day.
You're the president.
He had
it
the
will
questions
be about
ahead of time.
You.
It's going to be about the stuff that's happening. It's going to be about all the stuff. I can tell you what the stuff is going to be.
Don't you remember Home Alone 2? Wasn't that great? When it's in the Plaza Hotel, which I own, by the way. And then you remember Rob Schneider got tipped with a piece of fruit stripe gum. He wasn't very happy about that. He would always make the gesture with his hand for a tip. It was a tie-in with fruit stripe gum. Yes, my memory is very good. That would probably impress more people if he called that scene out.
I would be impressed if he remembered all of that.
Yeah, I would be like, you know what? I'm undecided now.
I think he would describe it more as, you know, they took that scene I was in and expanded it into a whole movie with that kid.
Right.
They loved that scene so much, they wrote a whole movie around it.
Yeah. All right, guys, let's take one more break and we'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan, and if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island, and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hey, here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Visible is the wireless company that makes wireless visible. No hidden fees, no really. Save on wireless with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. You don't need more than one line of wireless to save. Just switch to Visible at Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
And we're back, and let's talk about this Variety piece on Chris Pratt, who we have talked before about Chris Pratt,
yeah,
and how he's always talking about hunting and Jesus and, you know, all those.
Always winking at like the GOP, not going, letting people know he might be GOP, whatever, you know, it's fine. He'd just be like James Woods. You
can, I mean, there's more, cool, there's more of pictures of him fishing than like a dude's Hinge profile. You know what I mean? It's, everything is him holding up a fish, which is fine. I like outdoor stuff. I grew up on a lake. I like fishing. I don't even mind hunting under the circumstances of it being used for population control. And I like friggin' eating deer meat and stuff. But this guy, yeah, this seems to be a thing, like a, people knew.
Well, yeah, when people have always speculated, you know, he's with what, Arnold Schwarzenegger's daughter, and like, also, you know, they're like, okay, goes the Hillsong, a lot of pieces there to be like, this, he might be a conservative Christian. Again, no problem with that, but it's, I think the thing that a lot of people are pointing to with this article is that it wasn't necessarily about him, it's just the fact that he's not talked about it in this article. So there's a fundraiser going on for the Biden-Harris campaign called Voters Assemble, which is essentially featuring a bunch of Avengers cast members: Don Cheadle, Chris Evans, Scarlett Johansson, Paul Rudd, Mark Ruffalo, Zoe Saldana, and like, they're going to join the like Kamala Harris and some other thing. It's like a whole, just, they're just basically using their celebrity to generate a ton of funds for the campaign. And everyone was like, yo, where the fuck is Andy from Parks and Rec? Where's Star Dork or whatever the fuck his character is called? Why
Peter
isn't he
Quill
in the mix?
Jesus, Miles.
What's that?
That's who he is. That's his name.
Oh, okay. Star, so yeah, mind your P's and Q's and get your,
literally,
like, they're like, why is he in there? I mean, granted, there are a few other people who are in that film that aren't in this list, but I think it only just further fanned the flames where people are like, I think he should just be like, yo, dude, I'm a conservative, you know, me and Vince Vaughn hang out. Then that's that. But I think what people don't like is that, like, if he truly holds these beliefs and he's not saying that because he knows it would be damaging, and he's still just doing this, like, you know, trying to walk, you know, have his cake and eat it too, so to speak.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And
I mean,
just be out there with your values, man.
Him being like this is a similar vibe to why I don't trust polls very much because people who are ashamed of what they believe might lie to a pollster. I want to believe it all. Langston Kerman, very funny comedian, had a joke after the 2016 election where he said, the one thing we learned is that white people can keep a secret. He's like, you guys, the whole time, were like, I'm with her, and then you got in there, and you were like, you know what? I liked his hair the whole time.
I'm with Kerman. Hair.
he definitely knows it's bad. He definitely knows it'd be bad for his Pratt business,
yeah.
The Pratt Institute, I like to call it. He definitely knows that it wouldn't be good press if he was out here, because you know who isn't a Marvel Avenger is James Woods.
Yeah, exactly.
Or John Voight.
Yeah.
Did find that treasure with his son. But he definitely knows it's bad for. I wouldn't be surprised if Disney had something about it in a contract, but they're so powerful with that stuff, and it's such a. Sorry, I'm one episode into The Boys, and now I'm like, this is how superheroes are controlled.
Don't say you're a conservative. It's bad for our brand.
He's very particular with his brand. I feel like, because I don't know. You never hear him talking about anything. He's similar to like The Rock vibes with me, where I'm like, this is such a particular brand. The only time I hear you talking about anything is like when you're talking to a sick kid or doing something that a magazine would call a wholesome personal activity.
Right.
Right, right, right. And even The Rock was like, yeah, all right, I'm
even
vote for
The
Biden.
Rock, I was so shocked that The Rock put an endorsement out, because I'm like, but you know that you might be able to, you won't sell as many sweatproof headphones now.
Yeah, every celebrity is a company that a lot of people make a lot of money off of. It's not just his decision, it's his entire branding team's decision. Granted, you know, it's his decision to listen to them, but his brand certainly seems to be a specific.
Can you imagine? Pratt's always about to be on Twitter. He's like, I'm sorry, guys, but all lives matter. And his like reps like, dude, get the fuck off there, man. Yeah, stop. Yeah. Stop. Think about it.
But how depressing would the immediate spike in Chris Pratt merchandise sales be?
That
would then be curbed by Star-Lord dying in an off-camera manner.
He gets like a text, like just a thing, like you just see a text graphic on screen just explaining, and Star-Lord tragically just
was lost
in the vacuum
of
space.
20-part Disney Plus animated Guardians of the Galaxy series that is canon in the MCU.
Subscribe now.
But I mean, he's I think engaged to Schwarzenegger's daughter.
Yeah.
Who knows if he has conservative political aspirations like Schwarzenegger.
But even Arnold is out here.
Right.
Yeah.
We at least have to fix this thing before we get back to having a dialogue about what a party is.
Yeah.
Arnold Schwarzenegger is out here spending his own money to open more polling places.
Yeah.
That's wild.
I wonder if maybe we'll find out Chris Pratt was doing that. And he's like, you guys are sick. Look what you did. Look at it. You embarrassed yourselves just because I didn't say something out loud. Really look at your own hearts, please. Yeah. But also MAGA.
I do want to talk real quick about Facebook changing their algorithm in 2017 to choke traffic to sites that they viewed as left-leaning and, you know, deliver traffic back to the Daily Wire. Like, they had an algorithm update where their editorial staff thought that it was going to penalize the Daily Wire too much, and so they made specific changes to the algorithm to drive traffic away from what they viewed as left-leaning sites like Mother Jones, sites that have a weird reporting bias where they actually report facts and
ProPublica.
Right, ProPublica, you know, leftist shit.
Videos of the president's exact words being said by him.
It's just, it's enough to make you sick. But I think this is a good example of, you know, we finally saw Facebook block QAnon shit, and it seems like they are totally just trying to read the direction of the wind and figure out, like, you know, and paint with all the colors of the wind.
oh, wow.
But I mean, it's just... by having somebody who's this in charge of, in control of the media ecosystem of America, it just makes it like 200% less tethered to reality and more able to spin off into the fever dream come true that we've all been living through for the past.
I don't know what Zuckerberg needs his site to be before he feels like that girl wasn't personally insulting him at that dinner once.
Well, that's
why I think
we need that update. Yeah.
It just all feels like a weird spite thing that he's doing. He knows it's wrong. He knows what it's doing. And he just, besides his like congressional appearance a couple years back, which was bananas, it's so obvious. How much money do you need? Is he jealous that he's not the richest man in the world and that's why he does this?
Like, Almost definitely.
Maybe.
They need to force these people into like ayahuasca, like spiritual, you know, transcendental introspection journeys just to see if it'll knock a couple screws loose. Like, I wonder if he would look into himself and be like, you're right. I never got over that thing.
Would it be like the finale of Mad Men when he would come up with an even better idea to advertise stuff at us?
Yeah. I mean, the New Yorker did a profile of the place that Mad Men scene is based on. It's an actual like spiritual retreat where people like go do LSD, like hang out together. It's like you can only get in there if you have like Oprah's net worth. Like, it's all just these like tech billionaires and like leaders, and they have these retreats and shit. And it's been co-opted by like neoliberal, like the same way that the tech industry like took what was, you know, the hippie movement and like drug use and, you know, free thinking and turned it into a massive, massive money-making machine.
Yeah, I think if you're a capitalist, selfish monster, all that opening up your mind is going to do is further that. It's not like you're just being trapped into being someone who exploits the entire world into $100 billion.
Yeah. Sure. I mean, or if we look at it as like in a way, like it's an addiction too, like of whether that's making more or proving yourself through this thing. I don't know. I don't know why I'm trying to fucking save Mark Zuckerberg.
They did a retreat at that place, and like the takeaway was we need to make tech less addictive, but they didn't have buy-in from Facebook or you know, any of the, I think they had buy-in from Jack Dorsey, but
I'm sure that the takeaway was nothing that will affect their bottom line in any capacity, and not that we're taking too much.
Right. Absolutely. Should we talk horror movies real quick?
Yeah. I'm curious about this study.
Yeah, so scientists hooked 50
people. Joe Biden will listen to everyone. I'm sorry to interrupt you, Jack, but Joe Biden will listen to scientists. I'm sorry. Yeah.
So beware, guys. He will.
But he will not listen to activists when it comes to racial justice and you know, restorative justice in this country. Anyway, but just keep that in mind.
So these scientists hooked 50 people up to. So it's not a huge sample size, but I do think it's interesting. To heart rate monitors, and they watched the 50 highest rated horror movies on IMDb, like based on the fan ratings. And The Exorcist and other classics didn't perform that well. It was like a lot of, it's like Sinister and Insidious were number one and two. Yeah, it's like those like 2012, like those movies from the last like 10 years that
I think that horror has had a nice little rejuvenating decade though.
Yeah. That's what I was saying. Like it seems like, I mean, this seems pretty like they have all the stats here, and it's kind of interesting, like how high the heart rates got on average and all that stuff. And like, yeah, I agree. Like there's kind of an unfakeability about that. Like, that's just like, this is how scared people were. And it's a lot of that. It's like critically maligned, but audiences beloved. Like James Wan has a bunch of movies like The Conjuring, The Conjuring 2. I think he did, what else? The Visit.
The Con and The Juring.
The Con, The Juring, all of
that
the
was
above.
The working title for the Chicago 7 movie was The Jury Con. I like this list. There's a lot of... So they have these things ranked on average heart rate difference, and the average heart rate, the highest spike, and then what the difference is on there.
Yeah.
Give me a nice high average heart rate, because I'm not a big jump scare guy, but give me a nice long tension.
Yeah. Right. Get my blood pressure fucked up.
Like the ones that are more dread based are like Hereditary. It doesn't have a high spike, but it's in the top four It Follows is number six, and it doesn't really have a high spike at all. It actually
I'm looking at Hereditary and The Descent, which might be my two favorite horror movies, and I feel validated.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. So
I still Hereditary still
right.
There is have you seen that thing though? What is it? There are memes being done with what's her name in Hereditary? The actress the whole shit is based on how fucking Toni Collette, like memes of her eating, like when it's like when I'm biting a hot ass slice of pizza.
No.
Yeah. It's pretty great.
Because that face is, and I mean,
just letting taking a bite of pizza and then immediately letting it drop out of your mouth is such a specific experience. All right. Well, guess what, guys? We're not going to get to Space Jam 2. You're going to have to tune in tomorrow for that.
Oh, but it comes out tonight.
Yeah, it does come out tonight, unfortunately. Kyle, it's been great having you as always, man.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Where can people find you and follow you?
I'm kind of Kyle Ayers across most of the things, so you can find me on there, you know, all that sort of stuff. And I had an album come out last Friday, so like 4 or 5 days ago. You can check that out. It's called Happiness. It was recorded pre-pandemic, so there is an audience, which is a group of people gathered closely together to experience something simultaneously. Very fun. And yeah, you can get that wherever you listen to stuff.
And is there a tweet or some other work of social media you've been enjoying?
Yeah, I actually bookmarked this tweet from Mark Agee that says California state ballot initiatives are worded like vote no if you don't not want thing to do not happen or will.
I was just looking at this.
And if you fuck it
night.
Up, you legalize babies working for Instacart. And it's because I just filled out my ballot. I'm worried about my signature matching, so I'm going to go vote in person. But I filled out my ballot, and some of the propositions make you feel you're just like I have
22 is so fucking cynical the way they're trying to present that to people.
22 in the media is so cynical. If you actually read it straight up on the ballot, you're like, what are these ads possibly? I don't mean to be pulling up a ballot and reading things, but if you read it on the ballot, you're like, what are these ads saying? Because it's honest. It's the only 22 says it. Transportation and delivery companies are exempted from providing employee benefits to drivers. And I'm like,
no, but the commercials had a woman looking me dead in my eye. I got a text from someone being like, hi, I'm from Uber. Please don't take my job by voting for my benefits.
Right,
it's like, and that's how all these things are. There's another one for dialysis centers to have their shit together. And the companies like the Coalition of Concerned Dialysis Centers are parading people being like, they'll kill me if you vote for this. And you're like, okay, you know what? Shame on y'all for even messaging like that. Because that's not the case. You will make less money and you have to do the right thing by not taking advantage of people. That's what both these folks. Anyway.
It feels like every one of these propositions is funded by like lawyers from Better Call Saul, where it's just like these hilariously manipulated just under the legal limit of how they can position something.
Right.
100%.
But they are, it is a weird catch 22 for the people because it is these companies being like, well, we're not going to spend the money to do the right thing. So like you are essentially voting to put people out of work or like, you know, and but you just need to do the fucking right thing.
The company could just make a little bit less than infinity dollars a day and everything would be fine.
But these are the, like, because we're seeing, like, legislation against this, like, you know, not even, like, it's against it, but just trying to correct this predatory form of capitalism.
Yeah.
And, like, it's, like, at every level. I mean, every conversation we're having throughout any industry is always about, can you make a little less fucking money so the rest of us can live?
Do you remember
make
very
a little less
on,
money so people can afford medications or healthcare? Do you like, have to? What
like
the fuck?
Early internet days, there was a guy who made a website called IWillKillMyRabbit.com or something like that. And he was basically like, if I don't make $10,000 on PayPal in a week, I'm going to cook my rabbit. And he put a picture of his bunny over a boiling pot of water and then it made the money. And that's what this all feels like to me. You're like, you could just not kill the rabbit.
No.
Like, but it's over the boiling pot of water.
Yeah. That would be unprofitable to not kill the rabbit. I'm not saying that you shouldn't vote against these companies or corporations. I'm just saying they are bastards.
And you should vote against them.
But you absolutely should vote against them. Miles, where can people find you? What's a tweet you've been enjoying?
Twitter, Instagram, at Miles of Gray, 420 Day Fiance is the other podcast. If you want to talk 90 Day Fiance with me and Sophia Alexandra, I don't really have a tweet. I haven't been looking on social media. I'm still, I'll come back. I'll come back. I dip in and out. I just didn't dip in the last couple of days. So.
Yeah.
Bless y'all out there.
Olivia Hofer tweeted, you, 40 years ago, me. Ah, so 1960. You, no, 1980, me. No, that can't be right. Rachel McCartney tweeted, I called myself an introvert once and COVID made me smoke the whole pack. And then Helena tweeted, a huge thing you have to consider about AirPods is where are they? You can find me on Twitter at Jack_O'Brien. You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes.
Footnotes.
We link off to the information that we talked about today's episode, as well as the song we ride out on. Miles, what are we going to ride out on today?
You know, just minding my peas, bruv. I was just listening to a new Heady One album. I really like Heady One from the UK, even though, you know, he's a Tottenham boy. But this track with H, and that's H is spelled A-I-T-C-H. Just a little, you know, a little drill track for y'all. And it's called Parlez-vous Anglais. And it's just got a really nice laid back, like sort of like Muzak, like elevator music sample, but the beat is dope, and I love the UK, you know, like drill grind flow. It's just so fun, and like it's looser but more fun, and you know, I just realized, like, the more you listen to hip hop, you're like, that bar is about women, that bar is about money, that bar is about being better than you, that bar is about women again, that one's another woman, cars and money and violence, there we go. But they do it with an English accent, so it makes it seem classy.
All right, The Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. That is going to do it for this morning. We'll be back this afternoon to tell you what's trending, and we will talk to y'all then.
Bye.
Bye. Yo. The plaques come platinum, my bezel's stainless. Whip goes fast and the crib's outrageous. Just spent 28k on production, light up a stage and leaving a spaceship. Day date playing for the day, GG on my way, CC on my chainers. Pagans, they wanna play if I pipe it down after that with strangers.
Old school like Ratatouille, now I just act a fool and Louis. Brown skin girl, come all coolie, buckets fat, hand me Ruiz. Pop that ace of sprays that I drank from the bottom of my outfit ruins. I bought a new one, could be new him.
Fuck it, I'll beat if the bitch is ratchet. Long as the hands and feet are matching. Young H don't dive in the pussy. I take off my DSQs and backflip. Air ones come white like my ashes, but I won't.
Zeit gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.